Thanks, Sue. All right. Easter Sunday, one of, if not my favourite day of the year. And it should be, as Christians, shouldn't it? What a great day. The day that changed everything. The day that changed everything. Well, there's probably a whole lot of different things in your life where you think, here's sort of a day that sort of changed my life or the direction of my life. Vicky's shared 50 years of marriage. Well done to Vicky. This Thursday coming is our 21st anniversary. That's not a bad effort, is it? We're having a crack, you know, 21 years. It's pretty good. And certainly, I guess, for me, that was a day that everything changed. All for the better, of course. Is Sam on kids' church again? She is. So I can say whatever I like. She's out there with the kids. But it was a great day. And when we got married, I've shared a little bit before, those that are part of our church, we didn't really have pre-marriage counselling or anything. We both lived at home with our parents till the day we got married. And so we got married with kind of no idea what was really going to go on. And we came from two sort of Christian families, but they did family life very differently, right? And so my mum, she loves fussing over people and she just loves it. And so I abused that as much as I could as a teenager and growing up. And I was 22 years old, you know, a Woolies management program, and I go to work my little snack box that mum had made. And there was all these jokes at work. They were, oh, what little cakes has mummy made today for you, Matt? And I knew they were just jealous. They loved to pick on me. And you know, mum did all the washing and ironing, and I never did anything. And she would fuss over me. Well, Samantha's family's a little different. In Samantha's family, you grew up with her mum. You get cracking from about this tall, and you start helping and assisting, and off you go. And so we went and enjoyed our honeymoon. Of course, you enjoy your honeymoon, and then you come back, and it was time to go back to work. And I got up for work the first day. I'm like, oh, where's my cakes? Not only my cakes went there, I didn't even have sandwich. I mean, I'm like, Samantha, where's my lunch? I get up for work, and my lunch is there. There's the bread, there's the butter, go for it, she said. And so we had some adventures for the first couple of years in our marriage and some lots of challenging times trying to work out very different people and where the balance is. And then we've had to work out with kids how we bring up our kids and that balance between me wanting to kind of look after them and Sam kind of kindergarten, you make your lunch, get cracking, you know, out the door you go. Very different. But it was certainly a day that changed direction of my life, the day that changed a lot of things. Now, some of you can remember those sort of days. If you had kids, that's another day, isn't it, that changes your life. Suddenly, it's a whole lot different, isn't it? And you're responsible for this little human being. Days that changed everything. But there's things in our own life, personally, but this is the event. This is the event that changed the life and destiny and eternal future for everything, for the whole planet, not just people, the whole of the universe. This was the day that changed everything. Early on the Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So she ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stopped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciples who had reached the tomb first also went in and saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Jesus must rise from the dead. If you notice in that 1 Corinthians reading that Sue read for us before, it said if Jesus has not been raised, then our faith is useless. If Jesus didn't raise from the tomb, we're wasting our time here. Let's go to the beach. If Jesus isn't alive, there's no use. There's no help in this life. There's no eternal life. We're under judgment of God, and that's that. If Jesus isn't alive, then our life is worth nothing. But this was the day that changed everything. It changed everything, first of all, for those first disciples that were there, Jesus' close friends. He took a group of fishermen, a tax collector, some farmers, and now that's multiplied to a point where 1 in 3 people on the planet identify as Christians. There's no event that has impacted the world like it. Jesus never wrote a book himself, although there's been more books written about him than anything else. He never composed a song, but there's been more songs written about him than anything else in the world. He never drew a picture that we know of, although he did draw in the sand one time, or a story. And yet throughout history, paintings and sculptures, he's been the biggest subject of art. He's never travelled, Jesus, more than 150 kilometres from where he lived. And yet now there are Christians to the far corners of all the earth. The resurrection really was the day that changed everything. It took a bunch of scared disciples, and when Jesus died on the cross, after Judas betrayed him, there was 11 on them, and they were terrified, and they were hiding, and they didn't know what to do, they were confused. And then suddenly after the resurrection, they had this bold courage and power because they'd seen the risen Jesus. We don't have it all recorded in our Bible, but from historical writings, it seems as though all 11 of the apostles were martyred for their faith. At least most of them we know, and probably all of them. So it changed them. Somehow this day took them from being in fear and worried about life and concerned and scared, and it changed them to being full of courage and peace, and no matter what, I can trust my God. This was the day that changed everything. It changed everything for you and me. Well, I just want us to think about 3 things this morning that this day changed. Just 3 simple things as we look at this briefly this morning. And the first thing is the resurrection changed us from being under condemnation to salvation. It changed us from the status of being dead to being alive. Romans 4:25 says, God gave Jesus to die for our sins, and he raised him to life so that we would be made acceptable to God. In other words, the cross is not enough. I've got a book on my bookshelf upstairs called The Cross Is Not Enough. If Jesus just died for us and that's it, well, we're still in our sin, in other words, this verse says. To be right with God, to be changed from being under the judgment of death, because we have a perfect, holy God whose standards are perfect and they have to be perfect and holy, otherwise we can have sin in heaven and we don't want that because sin equals sickness and death and suffering, right? So God is holy and perfect, that's his standard, and we've all failed. And the only way we can change from that condemnation, being under judgment, to being under salvation, being saved, is through the death and resurrection, right? The cross is not enough. If we go through the book of Acts, every speech that was to non-believers in Acts talks about the resurrection. It's the only thing that's mentioned every time. 100% of the time, the resurrection. That was the story of the early church. It changes our status to being, well, where do we sit with God? Now our status is changed to be children of God and we have peace and security. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Terminal. Anyone seen that one? And it's quite a good movie starring Tom Hanks. And he goes into the American airport from a country, I can't remember the name, it's a made up sort of, you know, something Uzbekistan country. But when he gets into the US, his country goes into civil war and kind of disbands. And so he's stuck in the airport with no status at all. He doesn't know who he is. Who am I? I can't. My country doesn't exist. I can't go back there. And they won't allow him into America because he doesn't have a country. And so he's just got to camp out in the airport. And it tells the story of how he lived in the airport. It's quite a funny movie. But here he is with this confusion and just no idea, who am I? And in the resurrection, we get the answer of who am I? I am a child of God now and forever. It's a question that lots of people ask, who am I? I was reading a psychology article not that long ago, and it suggested it's a question that lots of people ask. And this article said, well, you shouldn't really look for a definitive answer because then you just get more fragile and more confused. In other words, don't try and really question who am I because it's just going to mess with your mind, right? And so all around people are going, who am I? I don't understand. What's the meaning of life? And in the resurrection, we say, I'm a child of God. I know what life is about. There's the creator of the universe, and I am a child of the King. Amen? And so the resurrection changes our status from being under judgment and confusion to now saying, I'm a child of God. God has paid the price on the cross because Jesus rose again. He stands on my behalf before the Father. So Jesus represents me. I'm united with Christ. I am a child of God. I'm safe, secure, now and forever. And so the first thing that the resurrection does is it changes your status from being under judgment and in Jesus being a child of God. That's good news, isn't it? Without that, we've got no hope at all. We've got no hope. But two other things I think it does. One's kind of a bit obvious, gets probably talked about a fair bit. Our future is changed. We read before 1 Corinthians 15. I just want to read another couple of verses of it again, just to remind us a couple of verses. Verses 20 to 23 of 1 Corinthians 15. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest, or the first fruits, some versions say, of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. New life. Jesus' resurrection guarantees our resurrection. And they have this idea in the Old Testament of the first fruits. And this is something that in the biblical times they understood. So the farmers, they'd plant their seeds and they'd fertilize and they'd water. And then they'd be waiting to see where those first fruits or first crops came up, right? Whether it's a tree or in the ground. And when those first fruits came up, and you've got to remember for these people, this wasn't just, you know, your backyard. Who's got a backyard veggie patch? Anyone? Who's a few people? It's a bit of fun, right? You know? But you don't survive on that, do you? That's not, you know, this is going to have a life. These people, their whole life depended on what these crops were going to be like, right? This is it. And so they were waiting to see, what is the first fruit? What's the crop going to be? Are we going to have food this year or are we going to starve? And here's the even more amazing thing in the Old Testament law. When they finally got those first crops up, you know what they had to do with them? They had to sacrifice them and take them to the temple and wait for the next crop to go. That's the trust they had to have in God. But this passage is saying Jesus is like the first fruits, right? So Jesus, risen from the dead, he's the example of what we have to look forward to. So in other words, here he's simply saying we have eternal life in Jesus. You know, death is a horrible thing. I mean, nobody likes it. Everything about us pushes against death. Why is that? Because we're not meant to die. We're meant to live. We're made to last forever. And when Jesus rose from the dead, you have the opportunity to live forever in heaven. Eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting. This is the story of resurrection. It's why, as I've shared before, you know, 5 years ago now, I did my granddad's funeral, and three-year-old, Regan was three or four at the time, and she said, oh, you know, granddad's, or she calls him great because it's a great, great's dead. And I said, well, what happens to him there? She said, oh, he's gone to heaven. And I said, well, what happens there? She said, he comes alive again. I mean, this is a little child that gets the joy of the resurrection, right? You know, I've done some funerals, it's a very tough time, but I've also been to some joyous funerals. I've shared before, I never forget my grandma's funeral and rejoicing and singing and joy. And then they're like, they led all these people to Jesus. Oh, who's here? There's people there. They put their hands up. Yeah, she led me to Jesus. And this at the funeral, people putting their hand up going, Come on, I mean, this is what life's... When you get to those moments in life when you're facing death, resurrection of Jesus guarantees that his children are resurrected too. He's the first fruits. He's the example of what it's going to be like for his children. And so the resurrection changes our status before God. It changes our eternal future if we accept it. But it also, I think, affects us now as well. It changes our present. Romans 6 talks about the life we can have now, free from the burden of having to please our own flesh, but living for God. Romans 6, 5 to 11. Since we've been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. In other words, the resurrection changes our present, the way we live now. It gives us the life that we're meant to be. We don't have to live this life where we're following just the desires of our sinful nature. Now we're free to actually live as God intended us to live the life that we're supposed to live, to know that God is with us and for us. I mean, if Jesus is dead, there's no one with me and for me. All those promises we read about how God always loves us, he's always with us, he's always for us, mean nothing if Jesus is not alive. But because Jesus rose from the dead, I can say with just such assurance, God loves me. He's always with me. He's always with me, always for me, always working the best for me because Jesus is alive. Jesus is here to also help us have a joyous life now. Jesus said, I've come not that you would have, come that you would have life and have that you would have life to the full. I've come that you would have life and have life to the full. He wants you to have a great life where you have peace and the blessing of God. And so here we sit today. It's such a great day. Friday is not enough. The death of Jesus is just not enough to change our status, to give us eternal life, and to give us life. It's not enough. We need Jesus standing on our behalf before God as the risen Savior. And so today we remember that our status can be changed if we accept God's forgiveness. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Everybody, no one can live up to God's standard. It doesn't matter who you are. And you can be like that in that movie, The Terminal, wondering what life's about and who am I and where is my future. In the resurrection, you can have forgiveness and you can have peace and you can know you're a child of God. Jesus said to repent and believe. In other words, say, I'm sorry for how I've lived. I believe you're the Son of God, Jesus, and I accept you in my life. And in that, Jesus says, you have eternal life and you have Jesus with you now. And so I would urge you, for those of us that have already done this and accepted this, to really today rejoice in that and remember that Jesus is always with you and for you because he's alive. But for those that haven't, I challenge you to think for yourself, what is life about? Where are you heading? What's going to be your funeral story? Because God gave his one and only Son, but he didn't just give and that's the end of the story. Whoever believes, right? We have to respond. It's a free gift. You don't have to do something and go, well, am I good enough for God? Or if I get my life sorted out, then God will love me. No, God says, come as you are right now. Doesn't matter who you are. Come as you are now. But you have to believe who Jesus is and accept his forgiveness. And you too can have eternal life. Well, maybe some of you are wondering about the facts. We're not going to get into all the details today, but go and investigate it. There's a whole lot of good books I love, Leading Lawyers, Case for the Resurrection, where a lawyer investigates the claims of the risen Jesus, Lee Strobel, The Case for Christ. One of my favourites, a bit harder to read, but it's Anthony Flew, who wrote that, was the leader of the atheist movement at the end of last century. And then before he died, he wrote this book called There Is a God. And at the back of the book, there's a whole little section on the resurrection. And these people, a lot of them, you know, the leader of the atheist movement went and looked into it and went, oh, hang on a minute. I haven't got this one right. Life makes no sense without God. And so I encourage you to go and have a look at the facts. Look at the empty tomb with the guards that were guarding it and their life depended on it if they let anyone get into that tomb. Look at the witnesses. When one of the Bible books, 1 Corinthians, when we read 1 Corinthians before, in that book it talks about 500 witnesses, and when they receive the letter, some of them are there at the time. So they're getting this letter about the resurrection, and the Apostle Paul says, remember Marley, she was there when Jesus was alive, and they're chatting together. Look at the facts of the witnesses. Look at the facts of hundreds of millions and billions of people that have shown and testified to what God has done. But the facts is not enough. For you to work out who is Jesus, you've got to look at your heart as well. Because there's a lot of people I know that have got a lot of information, but they don't respond because it's a heart matter as well. God is a God that works by the power of His Spirit. And so I want to encourage you to investigate the facts, but also think about what you're experiencing of what you know about God. Ask God. Reveal yourself, God. Tell me that you're real. Because God works with information and revelation. He works with our thoughts and also with our experience of who He is. And so today, if you accept Jesus and you accept His forgiveness as you are, you can have the assurance of eternal life. You can know you're a child of God, and you can know God's always with you and for you. Because Jesus is alive. Amen? Amen. So I want to pray for us. The band's going to come up. We're going to sing one more song. And I do urge you, maybe even today, someone needs to confess and accept Jesus. Maybe you've gone off the rails. Maybe you've turned up at church and you haven't been at church for ages. And today's the day you think, you know what, today I've got to draw a line in the sand and go, I'm going to follow Jesus. Because He is alive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to rejoice in the joy of resurrection. We rejoice that it can change us from under judgment, because none of us are perfect. The wages of sin is death. And the resurrection can take us from being under judgment of death to being given new life and eternal life. It can change us from not knowing who we are to knowing we're a child of God. So we thank You for the resurrection power in that. We thank You that the resurrection has the power to change our eternity, that we can have eternal life in the next life. Remind us, God, how short this life on earth is. Compared to eternity, this is just a breath. Help us to remember that You have given us eternal life. And thank You, God, that because Jesus is alive, we can have a life now following Jesus, where Jesus is with us and for us and helping us and standing on our behalf before You. Help us to have a great life that honors You, God. And so, God, for any that are here today that need to confess to You and say we're sorry for our sins, and we can all say that in a sense, maybe some for the first time, we can say, God, we're sorry we haven't always lived up to Your standard. We're not perfect, none of us. But we thank You, Jesus, that You died on the cross, and we thank You that You rose again so that we can be forgiven. Please, God, forgive us for our failures. Jesus, lead our life into a fantastic life of following You. Be the leader and forgiver of our lives, we pray. And just for any that maybe have come back to church after a long time away, maybe, Lord, we would just pray that for those people, they might be able to see the need to put You first. That they might recognize that this isn't just some thing that we would do on a Sunday. This is the truth of what life's about. The one and only true God who gave Jesus for us. And for those of us that have already accepted it, God, give us a confidence and a joy no matter what comes our way, knowing that You are alive. You're there to help us all the time. So thank You, God, for the joy in this day. Thank You that I am a child of God because Jesus rose again. Amen.